A warm welcome to all at our carol service at High Street Methodist Church as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who came into our world not as a king, but as one of us, sent by our God, an expression of his great love for all of us. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Jason Cook, and the worship group. We commence our service with a prayer. Gracious God, Creator Father, whose love and mercy knows no depth, who out of love for your sinful creation sent your Son to be born like us, shine your light and joy on all here or listening to our worship. Comfort those who feel alone or forgotten. Give peace, courage, and strengthen the faith of those in pain and suffering. And help us all to celebrate the wonderful, incomparable gift you gave us all that first Christmas. We pray for all who are here tonight that you will quieten our nerves and strengthen our connection to you through your Holy Spirit. Warm the hearts of all that we may be open to your love. Open our ears that we might hear you speak to us, and our minds that they might be receptive to your direction as we celebrate our Saviour's birth. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We start with a reading. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Oh, great for a head, and there were shepherds lying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Westward leading, still proceeding. Well, good evening, everybody. I was about to say it's amazing to see you here on this evening. I know you're here. I see the faint figures, and I'm sure we'll see you afterwards as we share in some refreshments together. I love the Christmas story, but the truth is that of the four Gospels, the four books in the Bible that speak about Jesus' life, only two of them record the birth of Jesus. We've already heard from the book of Luke and the book of Matthew. And they don't linger there either. We've heard the story pretty quickly. The story of Jesus' birth from announcement all the way through. What I do love in particular about the story is what the scriptures do want to tell us. They want to tell us who Jesus is. But very quickly when he's born, they want to tell us of the shepherds out in the field, these everyday common folk. And they're the ones who get to come and meet Jesus first after Mary and Joseph. They're the ones who have the great honor in the whole history of humanity of being the proclaimers of the good news of his birth. Shepherds, just everyday people. And then the story moves on and we hear about the magi, the word that the magician comes from, philosophers, astrologers, people from the east somewhere, we don't know where. And they follow this light to come and find Jesus. What does those two stories tell us about Jesus' birth? They want to tell us really quickly who Jesus is. They want to move on to the rest of his life because that's really important as well. But they want to tell us that Jesus comes not for the elite, but he comes for all people. And they want to tell us as well that though he came for the Jewish people, those Jewish shepherds, that the good news of Jesus is not restricted to one nation. But the inclusion of the Magi tell us that Jesus has come for everybody. And that's good news for us today. Because we're included in the people that Jesus came to serve. Church, I don't know about you, but I like to think that I was a really astute child. I could figure things out quickly once I studied things. So I know as this astute, withered child that when I looked at the adults in life, when I looked at their behavior, when I looked at how they lived their lives, the one thing that was so apparent to me was that adults have everything nailed on. Adults just have everything together, right? I knew as a child that adults didn't have stresses, they didn't have anxiety, they didn't have worries, they didn't worry about finance, they didn't worry about how they look, they didn't worry about their health. Adults just seemed to have it all sorted and they were breezing through life. And then I became an adult. It's not just me, is it, church, who when you grow up, you suddenly realize, oh, my parents were really good at pretending. Really good at shielding things from me. I don't know if you can see in the gloom here, but this is really a recreation of a manger scene that we did a number of years ago. And I love it because we've got the manger, we've got Jesus being born. But strewn around the manger is bits of straw and hay and foliage. And there's Amazon boxes, pizza boxes, wrapping paper, discarded items of food wrapping, and all sorts. It's true, isn't it, that our lives are pretty cluttered. They can be pretty chaotic. We'd dearly love things to be neater, more sorted, but no matter how hard we try, there seems to be some threads of chaos that we can't quite seem to tame and get them to dance to our tune. It's not just me, is it, church? No. So first of all, I want you to hear this. The story of Jesus' birth is not about God demanding that you get your act together so that you can get to know him. The story of Christmas is quite the opposite. The story of Christmas is that God will just move into the mess that you already have. I think the Christmas story itself screams of it. I wonder what the worries are in your life. Are you overwhelmed by your to-do list? Well, we're a few days before Christmas. There's probably a resounding answer of yes to that one. Are you overwhelmed by the jobs that you've got, the tasks that are there for you? We see Joseph and Mary. They had a 90-mile forced trek to do simply because the government demanded it by way of census. I wonder what jobs Mary and Joseph were desperately trying to get done so they could leave the house on time. They were clearly rushed. They were clearly behind schedule. They were clearly trying to catch up, trying to catch up, trying to catch up. We know this because when they got to Bethlehem, they were late. All the other places had been taken up. Is your future certain right now? Or are you struggling with things which are just not as solid as you'd like them to be? Again, we look at Mary in particular, but Joseph as well. There's Mary, this young female. She's far from home. She's far from the support network of women that she grew up with, who were there at the births of all the other children from the village, because that's how it happens. But right there in the most vulnerable moment of her life, none of the familiar faces are around. They get this newborn child. The census meant that they had to leave their home, and King Herod ensured that they could not return to it. What did the future hold for this young couple and the newborn baby Jesus? Are you worried about bills? Finance? Probably. Just go to the supermarket. It's not as cheap as it used to be. Here they were, Mary and Joseph, bringing a king into the world, but they couldn't even afford a room. Don't miss out on the fact, church, that if Mary and Joseph had money, they would have found a room. Trust me, somebody would have made space for them. Poor Joseph, he'd probably worked hard to build up a reputation in his local community to make sure that he could provide for his family, because culturally that was his responsibility, to provide for his family. And though he spent all that time building up his reputation so that the income would keep coming in, what happens? He has to leave it and he can't return. Where is he going to have financial provision for this journey onwards? How is he going to care for and provide for those he has responsibility for? I wonder if you're feeling that you're not good enough, that you just don't quite measure up to the people around you, that your self-esteem is a little bit broken. The shepherds, I said that they were the common folk, the everyday folk. The reality is that they were pretty bottom of the pile. They weren't that respected. And here they are in this story, not honored. I wonder, have you been searching for something that you can't quite name, that you can't quite find? Have you got a questioning soul that is restless because it just wants answers and they're not coming for you. When we look at those magi, they traveled for months. They traveled across borders, and they did so because they saw a light in the sky that they didn't quite understand. I'm sure they had questions. I'm pretty sure they had doubts on that journey. What on earth are we doing? They absolutely had a long road ahead. I want you to know that this story of Jesus being born into the manger isn't a 2,000-year story that doesn't echo into our lives today. I want to tell you it utterly echoes into your life if you will let it. Are you well overwhelmed by your to-do list? Can I tell you one truth that I have figured out in life? There is always a to-do list, and you never finish it. But in that to-do list, I want you to hear again the words of the shepherd, of the angels, as they praised God over those shepherds. What did they say? They said, "Peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests." If you're struggling with your to-do list, hear this, that in that chaos, Jesus can bring peace. Are you facing an uncertain future? Here's another truth that I've figured out in life. We're all facing an uncertain future, always. Because we never know what's round the corner. That's not quite true, actually. We're always all facing an unknown short-term future. Because Jesus comes to give us assurance of an eternal future. Because he came for you, he came for me, he came for the lost. Is finance your, is that your pressure right now? I love that in the midst of this story, the financial pressure for Joseph and Mary, some strange guys from the east came and they gave them gold. I want you to know that if you are struggling with these pressures, then God really does care about them, the reality of them for you today. But I also need you to know that following Jesus is not a guarantee that you'll be financially rich. But it is a guarantee that you'll be spiritually rich. That the very core of your being, your soul, can and will come to know that you have an inheritance worth far more than any gold or silver. If you're not feeling that you're good enough, you need to hear that God didn't send his best choir to the palace, but instead he sent them to a field where the shepherds were. And those people became the special privileged people who first got to meet Jesus. Maybe you've been searching for something and you haven't quite found it yet. Then in that case, I want you to know that God meets us always in the seeking and not just the finding. You don't have to have all the answers to be welcome at the manger. You just have to go looking for it. It is when we look at this weight of the mess of our lives, the chaos, the things we can't quite get right that we so desperately want to, we see that Jesus wants to be born right into the middle of it. As you look at the clutter around the manger, I want you to see it as an invitation. Here's another truth I know. We so often in life think that we need to get ourselves sorted, that we need to get ourselves religious, that we need to step out of our stress, we need to sort out the practicalities of our life and the to-do's, we think, well, I need to get rid of all of that and find this peace, tranquil, calm me, calm place, and maybe in that place God will meet me. But the Christmas story does tell us exactly the opposite. God knows how busy you are. He knows your list. He knows how stressed you are. He knows your worries. He knows your anxieties. So hear this message. God has no need for you to clear the clutter to make room for him. He's not waiting for you to grow up a little bit more, mature a bit more, and get it all right in life, because do you know what? You're never actually going to achieve all of those things. God isn't asking that of you. He is simply asking and inviting you to make space for him in the middle of it. So invite him into your life. Come and know his peace. Come and know his love. And come and know your purpose. Amen.
It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no hope had come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his is there room in your heart? The road is straight, the burden's light, for in his hand he holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory.
Let's pray. As we draw near to Christmas, we turn to you, Lord, who gives us hope. Emmanuel, God with us. God of all nations and peoples, tonight we pray for peace where there is war, for Israel and Palestine, for Ukraine and Sudan, and all places where violence overshadows hope. We especially hold in prayer all those recently affected by the terrorist attack in Australia and today's attack in South Africa. Bless those who work for peace and who shine the light of hope on conflict and unrest. Diplomats, aid workers, politicians, and ordinary people who choose compassion in the face of hate. Emmanuel, hear our prayer. God of our natural world, you have provided us with so many good things, wonderful oceans teeming with life, mountains, valleys, fabulous scenery, a home for many creatures. You have provided clean water and fresh air. But we fail to look after these gifts properly. However, we know that if we all play our part, there is hope to repair the damage we may have done. In a world threatened by climate change and division, renew our courage and our global commitment to protect the earth and to live as people who believe your creation still matters. Emmanuel, hear our prayer. Christmas God, tonight we give thanks for our local community, for neighbours who look out for one another, for volunteers who bring light in dark seasons, for every small sign that love and hope are still here among us. Where the church has been silent in the face of injustice, wake us up. Where we have been harsh or exclusive, soften our hearts. May we listen for your voice and act with courage and kindness. Emmanuel, hear our prayer. God of quiet miracles, As Christmas draws near, help us to make space for your presence in our hearts. When we are uncertain, give us trust. When we are afraid, give us courage. When we are busy or distracted, draw us back to what matters most, which is your love, born among us, still at work in the world. Emmanuel, hear our prayer. May the God who is forever Emmanuel, God with us, walk beside each of us in love and hope, tonight and forever. Amen. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The shepherds sang.
Please be seated as we, I say come to a prayer blessing, but before I do that, just huge thanks to everybody, the music group, the people preparing our displays, the room, the refreshments, the stewards who do so much, the people who work the desk and the PowerPoint for us, everybody, and all those I've forgot to mention as well, because it's always dangerous to start listing people. But a huge thank you to everybody who's made tonight possible, and indeed everybody who just helps this church function and run 365 days of the year. I guess I should plug the rest of our Christmas program. So on Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock is our family-friendly Christmas celebration, Christmas party. I'll be leading that myself at 11:15. On Christmas Eve, the Reverend James Skinner will be leading the Midnight Communion service, which is always just such a special service. And then on the day itself, on Christmas Day, 10:30 here, I'll be leading us as we just celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And we get to sing the final verse of that song. So if you're like, oh, I want to sing the final verse. You've got to come back on Christmas Day for that one. Let us pray. Loving God, this Christmas, bless these good people with good times with people they love, with laughter, with joy, with merriment, just enjoying what life is all about, which is love. But the blessing I really want to pray, Lord, that in all the midst of our life, the chaos, the threads that we can't quite tame, Lord, if we just don't feel we're good enough for you, I just pray that that would never stop us looking for you. But rather, in the midst of the chaos, I pray that's where we'll open our eyes and see that you've already come to us so that we can know you and be in your presence now and evermore. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen. Amen.